I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. Luke 15, once you find Luke 15, I want you to find verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. And once you have found that verse, Luke 15, 11, I'd like for you to stand with me. I'm going to read the Bible to you. We're going to read, a good handful of verses, 9 or 10 verses. We're going to read about the story of the prodigal son, and then I'm going to share something with you this morning. Luke chapter 15, starting with verse number 11, the Bible says this. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And he was come to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. I'm going to preach a sermon to you this morning, and I'm going to call it A Talk with the Prodigal. A Talk with the Prodigal. Or I could give it a second title if you'd like to approach it from a different mental standpoint, How to Help a Prodigal. How to Help a Prodigal. And let me pray, Holy Spirit of God, to help us today. Somebody here desperately needs to hear what's said. Somebody here that's a prodigal. They've gotten away from you. And yet there are others here today. Maybe they're not prodigals at the moment. But maybe they want to help a prodigal. I think today we'll learn how to help someone who's gotten away from you. But for that one who is away from you, I pray, God, that they would listen very carefully to what's said today so that they can get back where they need to be for a happy life in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and do something special in our midst today, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. This morning, if you're backslidden or you're away from God, I want you to listen carefully to some things that I'm going to say to you. You know, you may be backslidden, and it may be that people even know it. It may be that you've gotten away from God, and people know that you've gotten away from God. But wait, I don't necessarily think it's always true that we know who's backslidden. Sometimes people can put up a pretty good front to where you wouldn't think they were backslidden, but in private, in their heart, and away from church and away from you, they are backslidden. I don't know to who I would be speaking today. I believe that God wants me to teach, and I think God's going to speak to everybody, but I want to help you. If you're backslidden, if you're away from God, I want you to listen to what I say. If you want to learn how to help somebody that's backslidden, listen very carefully, and I can show you some things that would help, very, very, very practical things that will help you. The story that we just read is what they call the story of the prodigal son. A man had two sons. The younger of the two sons, he said to his dad, and I don't know what his name was, we'll call him Waldo. Waldo said to his dad, he said, Dad, I want you to give me the money that I've got coming to me in the future, my inheritance. And the younger son said, I'm leaving home. That younger son, he ends up receiving that inheritance, and he ran away from his home. He ran away from his father. He then went out, and he wastes that inheritance. And it's talking about, the Bible says, he was living in a way of riot, or a riotous way. In other words, he was doing wrong. He was living worldly. He had left home, and he's wasting his money. A famine came to the land in which that son was in, and he was actually starving. He had lost all of his money. He ends up getting a job, and he's feeding the hogs. And he's out there, and he's feeding the hogs. He ended up having to eat what the hogs wouldn't, And and the Bible says that he's away from home, the famine's in the land, he's lost all of his money, and he's eating what the hogs would not eat. There was nobody there to help him. And the Bible uses the terminology that he came to himself. In other words, he shook himself and he said, "Oh, well, what a mess I've created for myself." He realized he was away from his father. He realized he was away from the blessing of his father and away from home and where he should be. And when he came to himself, he said, I'm going home. I'm going to get the mess straightened out. Well, his father had been watching for him every day. His dad surely wanted him to come home. And so this young man is on his way home, and he reaches the property where his parents live and own. And dad was probably on the front porch looking out over the horizon, just hoping his boy would come home someday. And on that given day, the father seen the son, and the son seen the father, and they ran, and they came back together, and dad said, "Listen, son, I'm glad you're home." And the son, there's a little bit more to the story, but they get it together, and the boy says, "I'm glad to be home, and dad, I've done wrong," and dad said, "Son, I love you, and I'm glad you're home." Now, that story in the Bible pictures a saved person backsliding away from the heavenly father and getting away from the blessing of God. I wish I could have been the pastor of the prodigal son, because there's some things that I would have helped him with. I would have said to his dad, "Hey, bring him by the office. Let me meet with him. Let me help him a little bit. I think I can help him get back on track." I would have probably taken him down to the Waffle House or the Awful House, and we would have ordered some good old greasy comfort food and sat there, and I would have talked to him for a little while to help him get back on track. Now, if you're away from God, why don't you listen to me? I'm going to say some things today to that one who's backslidden. I'd like to help you get some things straightened out. If you know someone that's backslidden, learn a little bit from what I say. You ought to be able to help someone that's away from God. Well, if I were talking to that prodigal, one of the first things that I would say to them, I would ask them, I say, "Hey, did you get saved?" And if they say to me, "Yes," I would assure them of this. I said, "Then if you got saved in days gone by, you're still saved." You see, John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, 29, and 30 says this: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Let me tell you what happens. There are people that sincerely get saved and they get away from God, and the devil gets to all over them and messes up their life and gets them to doubting even their salvation. One thing I'll remind people of is if you've gotten away from God but you got saved in the past, then God saved you, and when He saved you back yonder, He saved you all the way.
Amen.
You've not lost your salvation. But the devil, he's tricky. But you got to realize he's a liar. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you're here today and you're backslidden, if you got saved in days gone by in the past, you're still saved. You're still God's child. Now, you might be a disobedient child right now, but you're still God's child. Number two, I would probably say to the prodigal, "You know, son, we all do wrong sometimes. I don't think I've ever tried to help somebody come back to God that I've not been reminded that I am a sinner saved by grace just like they are. And we're all subject to like passions." I would say to the prodigal, I'd say, everybody's a sinner. And so, you know, prodigal, my church, we're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. I've let God down before. He might say, "But you know, Brother Owens, I let my family down." And I've let my family down too. But Brother Owens, I let myself down. I'd say, "Yeah, I've let myself down." I think I would want to assure him that we have all let our God down. We have all let our families down. We have all let ourselves down. We've all let the church down. We all have. So, I would say to the prodigal, you're still saved. And we all do wrong sometimes. And let me say to everybody here, when somebody gets backslidden and you arrogantly look down on them, that is such a terrible attitude for a Christian that believes the Bible, because you've let people down too. So, I would probably then say to the prodigal, did you know that there were many people in the Bible who fell into sin, got off track? It happened to more than one person. I think I would want them to understand that there are, throughout the Bible, stories of people that got backslidden. You all have heard of David. David's mistake with Bathsheba. Have we not heard that Moses killed a man? Have we not heard that Jonah ran from God? Don't we know that Peter cussed and lied and denied? And Noah got drunk. Huh. But we sing the praises of David and Moses and Jonah and Peter and Noah. You know what, prodigal? God can use you again. You're in good company, because I know some greats in the Bible that had a time when they got away from God. And I think it would just help the prodigal to hear that. Then I would tell him this. I would say, you need to be reminded that God is a forgiving God. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I love this verse. Listen to this verse. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. I love it. You say, well, preacher, I've really goofed up. God can abundantly pardon. You say, I mean, I'm a real big mess. God's a real big forgiver. So you need to know that your God is a forgiving God. God will forgive you. All you need to do is say, Lord, forgive me, and He'll forgive you. To ask for forgiveness, I think that you then need to really accept the fact that you messed up, that you did wrong. If you looked at the story in the Bible of the prodigal son, he goes to his dad and he said, Father, I've goofed up. I messed up. Well, that's the first step of confession. You just know that you did wrong, and then you ask God to forgive you. Listen, if you're here today and nobody knows you're backslidden, or you're here today and somebody knows you're backslidden, let me assure you of something. If you've ever been saved, you're still saved. And we all do wrong. We all do wrong. And many great people in the Bible have done wrong. And God is a forgiving God. And you know, the next point I'm going to make to you, I think, not because I'm the pastor, but because I understand a little something about the position of pastor, sometimes it helps for someone to hear this. If I'm sitting down at the Waffle House with old Waldo, and he's backslidden, and I'm trying to help him, I'd say, by the way, Waldo, I want you to know, as your pastor, I forgive you. I just want you to get things straightened out. I'm the pastor of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I've been the pastor of this church for 65 months. And anybody that's ever been backslidden, I want them to know that their pastor loves them. And I want you just to come back to God. That's all. That's all. You're welcome to come back to God. Your pastor's not out to get you. Your pastor is not angry. I'm angry at the devil. That's who I get angry with. And don't be afraid to come back. You know, sometimes I think people get backslidden and there's a certain fear that they have of the man of God. And how will the man of God treat them? And how will the man of God see it? Let me tell you something. If you're backslidden and you want to come back to God, come on home. We want you to come home. We love you. We're for you. You'll have our support. You'll have our help. But I think sometimes it's important to know. But if there's any forgiveness on my part, it's done deal. No problem. But you know, I would probably tell the prodigal, most Christians will forgive. Most will. And I would apologize to the prodigal. I would say, not all. You know, Everyone, I wish all would. I wish everybody would be forgiving like they're supposed to be. But sometimes, to the prodigal, I would say, sometimes there are immature Christians, carnal Christians, fleshly Christians that don't know how to forgive. They're not spiritually big enough. But I don't think that's the case for most. I think most people forgive. Why? Because they're supposed to forgive. But it might not hurt the prodigal to know. You may come across somebody that will, in their pride and arrogance, not handle it right. But don't you let that stop you. You go ahead and come back to God anyway. I might even say somebody might criticize you a little bit, but don't let that stop you. Listen, let me tell you all something. When somebody's gotten away from God, many times one of their fears of coming back, it's not whether God would receive them, it's how would people receive them. How will people treat me? Let me say to everybody in here, there's some real good people in here, but you're not so good that you ought to be holding it against anybody that is a sinner that wants to come back to God. You don't qualify to not forgive. Let them come back. And don't criticize them. And I would tell the prodigal, I would say, I think most Christians will forgive. And sometimes people say things and they say hurtful things, but just realize they're immature and not spiritual. And hey, now, I don't know of anybody in our church that behaves that way, nor do I want anybody in our church that walks around like a Pharisee. And when somebody wants to come back to God, they're hurtful, harmful. And you say, well, I'm not going to forgive. Then keep your mouth shut and keep it in your heart. The rest of us are going to help people. And your day will come. Because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And take heed lest you fall, Christian. I would say to the prodigal, you may have forfeited a few things along the way. You know, every once in a while we'll do things and it sets us back a little bit. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, where here it talks about the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Those are kind of levels of the will of God. And that's all wonderful. We want people to be in the good will of God or the acceptable will of God or the perfect will of God. But I would tell you this. I think sometimes we get backslidden, so we set ourselves back just a little bit. With that in mind, God still has a will for your life, backslidden one or prodigal. Your life does not have to be spent away from God or spent away from the church. But I would tell you, listen, if you're a prodigal and you've gotten away from God, it may be that you have to forfeit a little something somewhere along the way. You say, what are you talking about? Look, if you go out and you rob a bank, we'll forgive you, but I'm just not going to put you in charge of the church finances when you get out. Now, doesn't that make sense? If you're a wife beater and you get into trouble for that, I'm not going to put you in charge of the women's ministry when you get out. It makes sense. You're really quiet right there. I think that's a little bit too prevalent in our day. We're not going to put a fox in the hen house. But what I mean is, you know, sometimes our sin sets us back a little bit, and then it may take a little while to get back on board or back up to where you need to be, but there is something God can use you to do, and God does want to use you, and God will use you. But I would not be telling you the truth if I didn't say sometimes when we get backslidden, there's a little bit of a forfeit, maybe a length of time where we need to work at getting our spiritual composure back. But then, I would explain, you know, sometimes the confidence of Christians needs to be re-earned. That's not unreasonable. And you'll have to accept that. Did you know that when you hurt people, sometimes they heal slowly? But give them a chance to heal. Give them a chance to acclimate to the fact that you're getting things straightened out with God. I think I've helped a lot of people get back on track for God. I have to help them with the reality of their situation. I think if you ever get off track with God, be willing to re-earn some of your spiritual reputation back. Don't think that overnight you go right back to where you were once before. It just doesn't work that way. And I would also tell you, be careful. You could make a mistake again. But we have an advocate with the Father. He'll help us. I would say to you, if you are backslidden and you are away from God, I would do this. I would get myself into every church service and get myself involved in all the activities and things. Why? You need to get back to where God's people are so you become a part, an active part of the church family again. That'll strengthen you. And you know what? Your showing up and being in church where you ought to be, it kind of shows how serious you are about coming back to God. Get into Sunday school. Get into night church. Hey, teenager, if you've gotten backslidden and away from God, you need to show up at Youth Ablaze and start showing up and become a part of what's going on. Ladies, get into those ladies' fellowships and become a part. Let people see that you're serious about serving God. Well, what am I talking about? Well, if there were a prodigal, and I got to talk to him for a little while, I'd remind him, you're still saved. I'd say, we all do wrong sometimes, and many people in the Bible had fallen into sin, but God is a forgiving God, and as your pastor, I would forgive you, and most Christians will forgive you. Now, some may criticize you, and you might have forfeited a few things, and maybe you're going to suffer just a little bit of a spiritual setback, and you got to kind of re-earn people's confidences, and you could make some more mistakes, but don't let that stop you. But you need to get yourself in church. You need to get yourself deeply involved around the church. Then I would tell them, you need to expect yourself to grow. You need to expect yourself to grow. Require it of yourself. Expect some growing pains. There's a lot to learn. So expect yourself to grow. Here's something else I would do. If I were you, I would get myself around all the good, pure preaching that you can find. Amen. You understand something. People that are backslidden, they've been away from God, they've been away from church many times then. That means they've not been getting the preaching that was available. This will sound silly to some of you. You know what I'd do? I'd catch up. Amen. Catch up. Did you know that if you get backslidden with your mortgage payment, you know what they want you to do? Catch up. What's it mean? Get that done. Get those payments made. If you're behind spiritually, do some catching up. You say, well, now what that preaching. Now, here at our church, if you miss services, you can go right over to the usher station. There's a little book where you sign your name and you can order a CD so you can hear the sermon. You can go online at Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I think it's twinriversbaptistchurch.com and you can hear the sermon. Hey, on Family Day, we're going to put a whole bunch of sermons out here that people can purchase that will help their families. And you could listen to those. Preaching changes things. Preaching changes people. And I'll just throw this in here. Hey, you know, there are people in under the sound of my voice. You need what is preached from the pulpit of your church. You need it. And if for some reason you're not here, you ought to listen to the sermons that you missed. I'll tell you something. When you go to school and you're taking algebra, do you realize that when you miss lesson number 2 in your algebra class, it could really mess you up? So you know what you do? You get the notes from somebody. You try to figure out, well, how do I get the information from that lesson? Well, let me warn y'all. There's some of you. The Christian life is more important than algebra, but you only hear one sermon a week where we teach 4. And you wonder why you're failing in your Christian life. Well, let me teach you something about algebra. If you only hear one out of every 4 lessons, you don't know algebra. Nor will you. So what would the logical person do? They would go get all the notes from somebody and figure out a way to get the training that they missed so they could succeed. When you're going to school to be a diesel mechanic, I would not recommend that you go to 1 out of every 4 classes. We won't be hiring you to work on our diesels anytime soon. That makes sense, doesn't it? So I would say to the prodigal, look, if you've been missing a whole bunch of church, you know what you better do? You better go start listening to a whole bunch of good, solid preaching and find out what you missed. I would recommend to the prodigal that they read their Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. I would also tell them this. Now, be careful. If you want to get right with God, you may get this idea. I'm going to read my Bible 4 hours a day. I hope you can and I hope you do. But just in the case you make that promise and you tear into it and you get about 15 minutes into your reading and you're already discouraged, just make sure you read your Bible every day. If you set the goal for 4 hours a day, I'm proud of you. If you don't reach the goal, try 15, 20, 30 minutes a day. But you got to read your Bible. I think what the devil does, somebody tries to get right with God, and they make a bunch of great big spiritual promises. 2 days in, they fall flat on their face, they're discouraged, and say, I can't do it. Sure, you can do it. You'll have to pace yourself. But you need to get right with God. So, if you're away from God, you need to read your Bible every day. If you're away from God, if you venture into getting some things straightened out and it doesn't all go easily and smoothly, don't you let that stop you. Don't you quit because it's a little bit hard. Get around all the good preaching that you can. Expect yourself to grow. Get yourself in church. Realize that you could stumble a little more. We don't want you to. And most Christians are going to forgive, but some are a little critical and sour in their attitude. But you can do this, and God forgives, and the preacher will forgive, and you're still saved. And there are a lot of people in the Bible that got backslidden, but God still used them. There's hope for that one that's backslidden. There are people that are listening to me today. Now, I don't know who you are. You used to do a whole lot more for God and be faithful to church and be a decent Christian, but you're a good piece away from God. Well, God would like to see you get that straightened out and get back to where you need to be. The kind of things I'm telling you are the kind of things that I use to help people get back to God. I help them to get back. Now, let me teach you something, prodigal, that will really help you. When you got saved, you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart and be your Savior. When you did that, He came into your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to read a verse to you. In Romans 8:9 it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Here's what happened. The day you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside you. That Holy Spirit has been inside you even since you've been backslidden. But I've got to tell you something. That Holy Spirit is so powerful and so strong. He wants you to come back to God and He will help you to come back. Say to the Spirit of God, by the way, which lives inside you, say, Spirit of God, help me. Spirit of God, I want to get right. Spirit of God, I want to straighten my life up. Help me. Help me. I think sometimes we look at what we need to do for God. And I think sometimes we say, it's bigger than me. I'm away and I need to come back and I'm not sure if I have the strength. I'm not sure I can do this. I don't know if I can get back to where I need to be. Let me assure you, living within you is the Spirit of Almighty God. And there is a power that is available to someone that has the Spirit of God that is beyond them. See, it is your flesh that tells you you can't do this. Your flesh tells you, you can't get right with God. Your flesh is the one that says to you, oh, you tried before and you failed. And you tried to get back into church and you didn't make it. And you tried to straighten yourself out. You tried to straighten out your life. And your flesh tells you, you can't. But you know what? The Spirit of God says, you can. You can. You can. You can. And when you do all you can and then you depend on that Spirit that lives inside you and you beg Him for strength and you beg Him for His help, He will kick in and He'll help you do what you cannot do on your own. It's called walking in the Spirit. And though you may be backslidden and the flesh may have controlled you, it is the flesh that pulled you away from your God in the first place. The Spirit of Almighty God is as active and well and inside you. And what you can't do by yourself, the Spirit of God can energize you and empower you to do. And there are people in here, you are backslidden and it's bad and you need to come back to God and you need to do what I just instructed and say, Spirit of God, please, I can't do this on my own.
Spirit of God is not just for the preacher to stand in the pulpit and preach with great power. The Spirit of God is for a backslidden person to get some energy to help them come back from the pig pen of the world. And I know the devil comes along and your flesh comes along and says, you can't. You can't do it. You can't get back to where you need to be. You can't get back to where you once were. That is a lie of the devil. You tell the devil to go back to hell. You call on the Spirit of God and say, oh, please, Spirit of God, help me. And you will be amazed how you can get something done that you never thought you could do. But you won't overcome your backsliddenness in the flesh. You'll overcome that backslidden condition in the spirit. I would do this, prodigal. I'd get to the pastor and let him help you if you need help. I'll make you a promise. I won't humiliate you. I won't hurt you. I think this is true. Any person that's ever been to my office in a backslidden condition, when they leave my office, there's a spiritual dignity still intact. They know that somebody's cared about them and tried to help rebuild their life. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've been honest this morning. But you can get help. You can get back on track. You can do this. You can get this straightened out. And I may be talking to someone that nobody on the face of this earth knows what kind of a mess you've created in your heart, in your mind, and in your life away from godly people. You've lied to everybody. You're not right with God. You are backslidden. I'd get it straightened out. Let me give you a couple other things I'd say if we're down at the Waffle House with the prodigal. I'd say, you're going to have to separate from the wrong crowd. You won't keep hanging around. You say, I'm backslidden. I'm partying. I'm a mess. I'm lying. I'm cheating. I'm committing sexual misbehavior. I'm backslidden. Okay, you will not get yourself out of the mess unless you come apart from the mess. You got to get away from the wrong crowd. Hey, and I'm not telling you to hate them. No, I don't want you to hate them. You just need to pull yourself away. You say, but I care about them and I love them. Here's what you need to do, if that's true. If that's true, you need to get yourself right with God so you can help them someday. But you won't help them by partying with them. You won't help them by being like them. Pastor, you could help them, right, because I don't party like them. That's the difference. You think I could help them because I'm not like them, which means you could help them if you are not like them. But you're going to be like them if you're partying with them. That's not complicated. So, you'll have to separate from the wrong crowd. You say, well, I would be lonely. Well, I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true. I think if you get right with God, there'll be all sorts of people that will be there for you. But God will be there for you. But I'll tell you what, even if you were lonely, you got to get right with God. Amen. What's it going to cost me? It costs Jesus everything to make you heaven available to you. But you got to separate from the wrong crowd. I'm going to say two more things and I'll be done. If I were down at the Waffle House speaking to the prodigal, I'd encourage them. I'd say, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. You know something, Brother Buck? I've never given up on anybody. I just in my ministry when I started, I decided I'm never going to give up on another human being. And I've had people virtually criticize me because I won't give up on people. I've had people say, you know, that's one you ought to just brush aside. I've never given up on anybody. But here's the problem. There are people that I won't give up on, but they'll give up on themselves. And my tenacity for not giving up on you cannot overcome the fact that some of you give up on yourself. God gave you a life. You're to live it and you're to live it for Him. And God can use you. Don't give up on yourself. You say, well, preacher, why would anybody give up on themselves? I think sometimes it's because of some repetitive failure. you try and you fail and you try and you fail and you try and you fail and then you say, I just can't do this. I give up. The prodigal wanted to climb out of the pig pen. His boots were slick from the dung from the pigs. He slipped. Then he tried again and he slipped. And he tried again and he slipped. But he tried again. But I'll tell you what, the prodigal got out. There are so many people that would finally slip and they'd say, that's it. I can't do this. I give up. I'll just stay here with the pigs. That is never what God intended for you. Do not give up on yourself. Listen, if you had a pastor that won't give up on you, and you have a Jesus that won't give up on you, and you have a God that won't give up on you, and you have a Holy Spirit of God that won't give up on you, and you have a church that won't give up on you, if you give up on you, there's nothing we can do. If you throw in the towel and say, I'll just stay this way, there's nothing that we can do. You have to want to get out of that pig pen. Listen, don't give up on yourself. Now, I have to tell you this. If I ask you this question, if you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? And you said to me, no, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Well, if you're not saved, you're not backslidden. You're just lost. Let me say it again. If you're not saved, you're not backslidden. You're lost. Say, what's the key? Get saved. Unsaved people that try to live the Christian life are very discouraged. The key to living the Christian life is getting born again. Getting saved. Remember that Holy Spirit I described earlier? Get saved. He moves in. He empowers you to live the Christian life. But remember, if you're not on your way to heaven, if you're not saved, it's not a matter of that you're backslidden. It's a matter of you've never been born again. So you need to get saved. So, if that dad would have brought the prodigal to me, and I happened to be his pastor, I would ask that boy, I said, have you ever been born again? And if he said yes, I'd say, then you're still saved. I would have told him, we all do wrong from time to time, and there are many people in the Bible that's done wrong. And God will forgive, and as a pastor, I'll forgive. There'll be some Christians that won't, and there'll be somebody out there that'll criticize you, but don't let that stop you. Be willing to go through a regrowth process, and you may forfeit a little something, and you have to re-earn the confidence of some people, and you may stumble again, but don't let that stop you. Get into church and don't miss church. Expect yourself to grow. Get all the preaching you can. Make sure you read your Bible and let the Holy Spirit help you. Let your pastor help you. Get away from that wrong crowd. Don't give up on yourself. And I will promise you, if you apply those things to your life, prodigal, we'll get you back on track. If you stumble across a prodigal and you want to help them, those things will help a prodigal to get back on track. I love what the passage of Scripture said. It says, he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Let me tell you something. There's some of you, your heavenly father is just hoping that a sermon like this will cause you to say, you know what? I'm coming back. And your heavenly father will run to meet you. He'll help you to get back to where you need to be. And he'll do it with great tenderness and compassion. If you're backslidden today, I hope you'll start making the steps to get right with God. If you're not saved today, I hope you'll get born again. If you care about people today, I hope you'll remember what you were taught and let it help you to help the prodigal someday.